going. 2-2 to Diaz. Is hit in the air to deep left field. Back it goes. Elias Diaz puts the National League in front. At 32 years old in his All-Star debut, a go-ahead home run.
Well, you never forget your first All-Star game. You are never going to forget your first potential game-winning homer.
Well, there you go. The National League has won an All-Star game. Wow, look at that. And the hero was Elias Diaz, the catcher for the Colorado Rockies, the first ever Rocky to be the MVP of the All-Star game. I'm eating some crow today, Angel, because, listen, I know he's having a great season. He's, you know, if you look at the stats, he's top three catcher in the National League. But, you know, I was going on this rant last week or so about everybody's getting a participant in the All-Star game. And, you know, when a Rocky gets one, you're kind of like, yeah, really? Everybody gets one, huh? That's the thing they're doing. Well, and he turns out to be the star of the show. He hits the two-run homer in the eighth inning to help seal the victory. They win. The National League wins 3-2 at T-Mobile Park in Seattle. So let's get right to it, Angel. The good, the bad, and the ugly, presented by FMS Bank. Banking made simple. That's the good story for me, right off the bat, is Diaz. And the value has never been higher, is all I'm going to say, for Elias Diaz. Do the Rockies now really ramp up conversations about trading him? That's your most valuable player at this stage that's realistic that you could move on from and get something for. He's 32 years old. I don't know if the Rockies will do it. They probably should. We'll have that conversation throughout the day today. The bad for me, did you watch the All-Star game? Do you have DirecTV, Angel? Are you one of those guys?
I live in has Xfinity.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, DirecTV is in a weird thing with Fox 31. And so I forgot about it. Hadn't been paying attention to needing Fox 31 for a little bit now. So I go to turn on the All-Star game, and they're still trying to figure out what's going on there. I know Brian talked about it on Good Morning NoCo. Does he know what's going on? Like, is this an altitude situation here or what? But I couldn't watch it. Couldn't watch the game. But still, cool moment there. The ugly, and boy, this Northwestern story is going to continue, I believe, to get nasty. We know that this escalated pretty quickly throughout the course of the week. On Monday, we knew that Pat Fitzgerald, the head coach for Northwestern's football team, who'd been there for a long time, was going to be given a two-week suspension that started, I think, last Friday or two Fridays ago because of the hazing allegations surrounding the Northwestern football program. And, you know, he claimed his innocence as far as, hey, I didn't know any of that stuff was going on. The anonymous players, like, how could you not? There were boards in the locker room talking about all these weird hazing rituals that the team had put on. And so a few other players came out and said, yeah, that checks out. There's also some evidence of racial allegations going on, of racist terminology happening there with Pat Fitzgerald and his coaching staff or what have you. Well, then they fired him yesterday. Well, now Pat Fitzgerald's coming back. He is, he's got an attorney on this thing, and he's setting up there's a potential showdown, legal showdown going on between the College Football Hall of Famer and his alma mater at this stage. So his attorney, Dan Webb, said he communicated with Northwestern's general counsel, who informed him of the for-cause termination for Fitzgerald, basically saying it's going to be a situation where they're in breach of that contract overall. This is going to get ugly, dude. This is going to get really, really ugly right now. And I would imagine more is going to continue to come out about this. They did have a sit down yesterday with the players and the president of the school and everything. Get ready if you're paying attention to this. No one was talking about Northwestern football, but now they certainly are. Webb, the attorney for Fitzgerald, is researching legal strategies. He has not filed a lawsuit yet, but he cited two different major breach of contract claims with Northwestern, as well as significant reputational damage. Northwestern has not informed, according to ESPN, Webb, whether it is seeking to withhold the remaining salary on Fitzgerald's 10-year contract signed back in January of 21. He's owed more than $40 million from the school. Webb went on to tell ESPN that in addition to Fitzgerald's employment contract, Northwestern violated an oral agreement reached between the coach, Schill, and the university's general counsel last week. So the tough part about this story is it is not really – we know this with sports, don't we, Angel? It's not really innocent until proven guilty anymore. It's kind of the other way around. If there's smoke, there's fire. We're going to act if there's enough people coming out and saying that you did this or you knew about this or what have you. Well, one of the other anonymous players on Fitzgerald's side of the story is saying that this player that spoke out about the hazing was basically had a mission in mind to get Fitzgerald fired. And I don't have some of the direct quotes, but that player said he would embellish. He would make the story seem much worse than they really were because he wanted to get him removed from the football program. So obviously we know where Northwestern went. This is just one of those strange stories where Northwestern at the beginning of this, or just 2 weeks ago, said, okay, well, we aren't going to fire you. We kind of believe that you're innocent, but we think that maybe there's something there, so we're going to suspend you for 2 weeks, which to me is just ridiculous. He either did something bad or allowed something bad to happen, or he didn't at all. So there's no in between. There's no, oh, just a little suspension for you. That's us acknowledging that you did something wrong. But if all the allegations are true, then that thing that you did wrong is pretty bad. Whether you were aware of it or not, you've been there forever. How does a coach like that, Angel, who'd been there, when was he the head coach? 2006? And then he was with the program early in the 2000s. A guy like that, beyond anybody else, is plugged into the program more than any typical coach. So if this happened and he didn't know about it, then yes, he should be fired. We discussed this yesterday. But now he may be saying that there are major breaches of contracts and that they had a verbal agreement that it was only going to be 2 weeks and that was going to be it. And they weren't going to go any further on this. But do you think this is just a situation of Northwestern caving to anonymous reports? Because I think so. Danny Cannell came out. I think he's with. Is Danny Cannell with Fox? He tweeted something out. I'm trying to find it right now. He tweeted out that, you know, Fitzgerald is a good guy, and it's really tough to see, you know, this situation happen to a guy like that. So he's basically saying that there's no way this happened. He tweeted out, never been easier to fire people from your couch on a keyboard. If a sexual assault occurred in their locker room, the players involved should be arrested and charged with a crime. Now, that goes further into this investigation, because if Fitzgerald didn't know about this and it was happening, how far did this go? What were some of the things that really happened? Is this beyond? I mean, these are weird stories, Angel. Disgusting. You know, we're seeing this board, the Shrek board of naked bear crawls and naked slingshots and all of that. Does this go beyond that? Is there more to the story on this? So I thought, you know, again, Danny Cannell, pretty good at his job. He can get controversial when he needs to. He tweeted this also. Something feels off in this whole Pat Fitzgerald situation. Unlike a lot of my colleagues in media, I will not rush to judgment or call for his firing. And why did nothing come out earlier? Like, I always ask that question. And again, the response to that is, well, it has to come out sometime. But he's been there since 2000, head coach since 2006. Is this something new that came up in the year 2020? What was it, 2020 through 2022? Or when these allegations are going on? Suddenly there's hazing happening in a day and age where everybody has a cell phone and everybody has a Twitter account and everybody has something to say about something. This was the time, as a head coach, you chose to look the other way when this is going on. I'm just saying it does seem a little strange, doesn't it?
Well, I mean, they talk about the allegations, how, you know, the head coach is the leader of your football culture and the leader of your team, and the head coach should know everything that's going on with their team in and out. Sure, you'd like that to happen, but that's why coaches have coaching staffs. That's why they have coordinators. That's why they have assistants to keep track of all of their 50-plus players. When I can't have 50-plus meetings in a day. I'm a football coach. I got to do stuff. it is weird. You know, we talked about it last week about the football culture, and is this an avenue? Is that an avenue that allows for this type of activities to happen? The different types of words that are coming out from both sides, we don't really know what the truth is.
We don't. And the investigation that they had, which was a lengthy investigation, attorney Maggie Hickey and the Arendt Fox Schiff law firm did not find evidence that Fitzgerald or Northwestern's other coaches knew about the hazing activities, but they had opportunity to discover and report the behavior. So, Angel, are we saying now that we know there's hazing? There was hazing going on here, and it was gross. Do we feel like we know that, or is that still up in the air?
That's what the university's investigation has found.
So that would lead us to believe that, yes, this was going on. And so my response to that is I do think that if something like this is happening, now, if this is his first year and that was part of the culture before he got there and it was happening, then yeah, I think you give him the benefit of the doubt and say, yeah, he's still trying to figure out his team and the culture and how bad it was or whatever. But the fact is he's been the head coach since 2006. So if this hazing was going on, And you didn't know about it, but it was happening, I do actually tend to side with Northwestern.
Well, how can you prove that he did or did not know about it?
Their investigation is proving that he didn't know about it. Did they get his phone and see any kind of text string, emails? Was it obvious that there was hazing? You brought this up on Monday, which I think is a good point. You said it was a whiteboard that you can quickly erase and move and just take it off the board. That could be happening. I mean, was there this large scheme by upperclassmen on the team? We want to do this to get at the freshmen. It's power. It's all that stuff. And we're going to do it. But don't let the coaches find out about it. And you players, if you tell anybody, you're going to get it. I just find it fascinating that this is still happening. That this kind of stuff is still happening. Now, what more really went on with this? Does this die out? I don't think it will, because I think if Fitzgerald and his lawyer do want to seek legal action to help Northwestern's case, revealing more of the information is only going to help their case. So we might not be even close to seeing the end of what actually happened at Northwestern. Now, here's another factoid here from Fitzgerald's lawyer. Under Illinois law, an oral agreement is a contract. Which is interesting, right? So the oral agreement basically said, you will be suspended for 2 weeks, and that's it. We're done. So that's what Fitzgerald assumed was it. So they're claiming that that was an oral agreement, that that's all you're getting. We're ending this. We're closing the book on this. They thought the proper punishment at that time was a 2-week suspension without pay. That was their judgment. They made the decision. Fitzgerald and his lawyer went along with it. They agreed to it. And then they issued a statement to support them. And then Northwestern came back and said, no, actually, there's more anonymous reports. We're firing you. So now, according to Webb, the lawyer for Fitzgerald, they've breached an oral agreement and damaged his reputation for no reason. The entire series of events by Northwestern, I cannot understand it, Webb went on.
So they could have fired him the day after the 2 weeks was over, and it would have been fine. You wouldn't have to, like, they don't have to tell him that they're going to fire him after 2 weeks.
I guess, but if there was this, like, if Fitzgerald is sitting across that boardroom or that table and says, this is it, correct? I've got my contract. This is 2 weeks. I'm going to agree to go along with it and support you guys. Is this it? And so what Webb is contending here is that Northwestern said, yes, this is it.
Right.
So according to Webb, like that is a contract, so he should get all of his money.
They fired him
for cause.
The problem is, like, there wouldn't be this kind of issue if they agreed on the 2-week thing, and then as soon as that 2 weeks was over, they fired him.
I don't know.
Without telling him.
I don't know. Because
you don't have to tell an employee you're going to fire them prior to.
It's true. Yeah, you can fire him no matter what. Like, you can fire a coach.
But anytime before the 2 weeks is up, that's the issue.
It is... But they're basically because they said the suspension was without pay, the 2-week suspension. So Fitzgerald had to agree on that, and they could have just fired him then. But he said, okay, yeah, fine, no pay for 2 weeks, and that's it. And they can, you're right, they can fire him anytime. But the question comes in, how much money do they owe him? What did I say, $40 million or something like that? That's the question. And so he's probably at this point, he's not like Huggins here. He's not going to be fighting to get reinstated, I would imagine. That's going to be just too many issues there. But he's contending that his reputation is forever ruined. And if they, because they could probably get out of paying him a good chunk of this. So he's going to be fighting for those two things. So you're right. They could have fired him at any point. But because they verbally said, no, dude, you're good, we're going to do the 2-week suspension and then that's it, he can now fire back and say, you guys told me I was set, I want my money. And now you've ruined my reputation, so I could go after you for damages, which I suppose could be the truth. Webb, the lawyer for Fitzgerald, went on to say that Northwestern had no new information between the 2-week suspension for Fitzgerald and his firing, noting that the hazing details reported Saturday by the, and again, this was the student newspaper, by the way, that busted this story open, probably because Northwestern's not very popular and nobody's really touching it. The Daily Northwestern put out all this information well before, and that they had already known that these stories were going to come out. The Shrek board, the other anonymous reports that came out, this was all stuff that they had to before they did the 2-week suspension. So basically what it looks like is once Northwestern got once the smoke got thicker and thicker and thicker, even though there was no new information according to them, Northwestern caved to the pressure from the media and Twitter and the outside world is what it is. If this wouldn't have got out, if the anonymous players wouldn't have come forward again to external people such as this paper and ESPN and all that, then I would imagine Fitzgerald would not have been fired. So this is what looks so bad on Northwestern, is you fired the guy now because of the perception. This isn't like the Ray Rice story. The Ray Rice story, the NFL suspended him for 2 weeks thinking maybe he knocked out his fiance, but they didn't have proof of that. But then they got new information. So that's why it was very easy to accept that they added on, oh, Ray Rice, no more 2 weeks, you're out for the season. And then ultimately he was done for his career. So they were given new information. What Webb and Fitzgerald are contending, zero information was new. You guys already had it all, and we all agreed that it was 2 weeks. Now you're messing with me. So in that regard, you kind of do get Fitzgerald's point. Should he have lost his job? Yes. If this was happening, yes, I agree. He should have lost his job. It's very similar to the Patino thing. If it's going on underneath your watch, that's your fault for not knowing what's going on. And it seems like it's a fairly obvious thing to have caught. I don't know. Because where are they doing all these weird hazing rituals? Where are they doing naked bear crawls? And you mean to tell me not one member of the staff blew a whistle? But you brought up the Paterno situation with Sandusky. And we all know how bad that was. And that stayed under... That was a secret for a very long time until coaches finally started. Coaches are not going to willingly jump forward and give this stuff away because the risk is so great. And even in that ultimate, that crazy, terrible, terrible case with Penn State, it took coaches forever to come out and actually go against knowing what they saw, but they didn't come forward for a very long time. So it does sound like hazing happened. Of a sexual nature of some sort. I don't know. Maybe not a sexual nature. I don't know. Are we calling it that? I guess so, for the sake of this argument.
I mean, the university report found forced participation, nudity, and sexualized acts of a degrading nature.
All right, there you go. And so my question is, like, there's a lot of dudes on a football team. In order for them to enforce these weird little rituals they were doing, somebody would have had to see something. Like, where are they doing these naked bear crawls? So, yes, the way I look at it is we knew there's hazing going on of a sexual nature, demeaning and all of that. And Fitzgerald's claiming he didn't know. The investigation finds that he wasn't aware and his coaching staff wasn't aware. So, therefore, I look at that and say it happened. It's unfortunate that you didn't know, but you got to know. That's part of the gig, isn't it? It's part of the job. And so I get why they fired him. But they set the table up well before this. 2 week suspension, we're good. Oh no, social media has all the details we have now. So now we're firing you. That's the look. That's the bad part about this whole situation. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Our tight-knit brewing poll question of the day. We won't do our AFC West preview this week. We'll go, we do NFC South last week. We'll do NFC, what do you want to do? West. Good. Took me a minute there. New station parameters are all off. So we'll do that. But I just want to know, where will the Denver Broncos finish in the AFC West? Lindy Sports, all the preview magazines are coming out. Lindy Sports says the Broncos will be third. Maybe that seems about right because we know the Chiefs are going to be the Chiefs. The Chargers, probably going to be a good regular season team, but they'll find a way to screw whatever it is that to screw up whatever it is they get close to the end of the season. The question mark for me is the Raiders. Are the Broncos going to be better than the Raiders? We'll get into that in more detail. And should the Rockies trade off the all-star MVP? Who else has value on this team? You're not trading your young guys. You're not going to trade Tovar or any of those guys. Diaz's stock just went way the hell up. You're never going to get it. This is where they made the mistake with C.J. Cron. C.J. Cron was having a phenomenal first half of the season, and then, bam, hit a wall. And then the value went down. Is now the time. The deadline's what, August 1st? Now's the time. 27 minutes after the hour, we'll discuss that. On the outside, people will be mad. Oh, you're trading off your one good player. He's 32 years old, and it goes back to the whole Nolan Arenado thing. If you're not winning, you have this great player who thinks he might be traded now. You have this great player, but it's really not doing much for you. What can you do to get better? 27 after the hour. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. More to come on Elias Diaz. Big night for him in the All-Star game. Focus on the Broncos a little bit. We're going to get our guy Cody Tucker on the program from 7220sports.com. Talk a little Wyoming football. We got Mountain West Media Days are coming up, and there's going to be some big storylines surrounding those Media Days. So we'll get into that with Cody a little bit, talk about Wyoming's NIL structure and what they're up to, and just the overall feel around that football team. So we'll talk to Cody a little bit later on in the program. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We're on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Congratulations to the Denver Nuggets. Enjoy Nuggets coverage year-round on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
This is Chris Abshire, Fort Collins, Colorado, and you are listening to the whole show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Minutes after the hour. Welcome back into the whole show powered by PDC Energy. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. I want to shout out to Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. Absolutely love what these guys are doing. They got a good event coming up very soon. Join Pooter Pet and Feed Supply and until they're home at Max Line Brewing for a mixer for dog-loving singles. There will be ice cream sundaes and all that available there for you. So check that out. Great opportunities to get involved with Pooter Pet and Feed Supply. Man, I love what they do. Over the summer, we've been giving stuff away, and people just absolutely eat that up. Check out your nearest Pooter Pet and Feed Supply, Windsor, Loveland, and Fort Collins. First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. The tight-knit brewing poll question of the day, where will the Broncos finish in the AFC West this year? I think I'm not going to do what I did last year. Get a little silly. It's the Chiefs division. There's no question about it. We've talked about this, but the big concern I had with the Chiefs was how would they do with life without Tyreek Hill? Well, they did pretty good, I would say. Getting a Super Bowl win out of the whole deal. And I think Tyreek Hill did pretty good in Miami. So it was one of those where both situations worked out for both parties there. Chiefs are the team to beat until we see otherwise. Patrick Mahomes is a unicorn, the best quarterback in the NFL. He's now, like, the big thing for Mahomes now is we're talking big for him. He wants to get up there in Tom Brady territory. Already got two Super Bowls. I think it's pretty realistic to say that he's going to win a couple more before it's all said and done. Will he get to, is Brady at seven? Will he get seven? That's, like, hard to predict that. You know, it's really difficult to say that. But he could get to four or five. Not, I'm not going to say easily, but they're the favorite right now, aren't they? Aren't the Chiefs the favorite to go win win it all next season? So the Chiefs are going to be sitting at number one. What about the Los Angeles Chargers? Now, they had a weird deal. Brandon Staley just finds creative ways to lose games. So will they be good enough on paper to go to the playoffs again? Probably. It'll be close. It'll be close. They barely got in last year. Should have probably got in the year before that, but we had the overtime thing with the Raiders. Are the Chargers better than the Broncos, Angel? You're speaking from a guy that's not really going all in on one team or the other here.
Right now, I'd say the Chargers are just slightly better, and that's the unknowns of what Sean Payton is, what Russell Wilson's going to be. Yeah, there's still question marks with the Chargers. About their defense. Can Herbert, obviously, can he continue to put up the big numbers, and can he limit his mistakes? You saw, turnovers are an issue for him. How do they respond after, not scoring in the second half of a playoff game, losing to Jacksonville on the road? So, yeah, but I'd say the Chargers are like a half step, if not three-quarter step above them.
Probably where I'm leaning right now, because I got to be fair. We talked about the Buffs a little bit yesterday. Based on their last season, it was just awful, and I know it's a new look and a new team and all that stuff, but I can't just blink and go, oh, no, new coach, new situation, they'll be fine. It's going to take a little time for the Broncos, and I'm trying to be really smart about this year, Angel. I'm not going to get my hopes up too high for the Broncos this year. So third place, that's where Lindy's has them. So, I mean, it feels like they're probably right around that point. Now, that could still be 9 wins or so, but the Chargers, more experience there with their head coach. They're bringing back most of their weapons with Joey Bosa, and, well, they're bringing back Austin Eckler, even though we thought maybe he was going to be gone. He still may be. I don't know. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen. So
I think I could see these teams splitting in their regular season matchups, and then it just comes down to tiebreakers.
Yeah.
And they could have the same exact record at the end of the year and be 2-3.
I think it'll be tight. If the Broncos want to get into the playoffs, it might be the difference between what they do with the Chargers and where they finish in that AFC West. The Raiders, too many questions?
Yeah, I mean, even with Jimmy G, I just don't know the mentality of that team. They lost a lot of pieces on both sides, so we'll see. They might shock us and win 8 or 9 games.
Well, they win 6 games last year?
Mm-hmm. I could see Jimmy G and Davante Adams having a connection, and they figure something out there. And well, Josh Jacobs, and he's got his contract now, so he's happy.
You love Josh Jacobs.
You'll see. I think the Raiders could still be that scrappy kind of team you don't want to play on, a trap game Sunday.
Well, the biggest question mark around the Raiders is not even Josh McDaniels. It was his decision to move on from Derek Carr. But who is Jimmy Garoppolo?
Is it Jimmy Garoppolo?
Yeah, right.
We don't even know if he's going to be able to play.
Right. That's the biggest question surrounding him. And that's been the thing with him his entire career. Coming from, we thought he might be the next man up for the Patriots, but they end up moving on from him. He goes to San Francisco, and then he gets hurt. They draft a quarterback. They're not sure if they're going to keep him. They ended up keeping him last year. Still question marks surrounding Jimmy G. So, yeah, that connection with Davante Adams. Is Davante Adams still the premier, one of the best wideouts in the game? And can he be there with the guy that he didn't sign up for? He chose to leave Aaron Rodgers, probably because he knew Aaron Rodgers wasn't going to be a Packer, and then comes to the Raiders, which is his next best option, because Derek Carr's his boy. That's his guy. They played college together, Fresno State. And then start seeing the writing on the wall toward the end of the season. Oh, Derek Carr's going to be gone. They don't have the connection there. And now you bring in Jimmy G, so how does he respond there? I do like the Raiders to finish last in the division, just looking at it early here, 7-12. And then I think we're right on that mark where it's going to come down probably to a game or two, maybe the head-to-head competition between the Broncos and the Chargers going forward. So much of this just, again, depends on what is that relationship like with Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. To me, that is going to be the storyline. There's a lot of interesting things surrounding this team and the ownership and everything that's happened the last two seasons, but ultimately it comes down to just one relationship. What does it look like between Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. So much was made of the recent workout video for Russ that basically, like, that was your time off, and the first thing you did was ran to Twitter to showcase your workout, and that's kind of against what Sean Payton wants to do, which I think is kind of hypocritical to think that, and I don't even know if Sean Payton was mad about that. We haven't heard any reports, but Payton was quick to get on Twitter and go after some media guy in Denver who was wanting to know who the rest of the coaching staff was going to be, and Sean Payton goes out and fires it off. Kind of a, not really controversial, but a little snippy. A little snippy tweet. That, to me, was more edgy than Russell Wilson's electric slide workout video.
Does Payton need to address it, or does that draw more attention when it's not necessary?
It draws more attention. I don't think he needs to address this. Now, if we get on and we start seeing every other day is a different Russell Wilson tweet about threes and Broncos country, let's ride, and all that stuff. Apparently, he doesn't like that. Okay, that's one thing, but showing a guy working out, like, I think everybody freaked out about this. That, to me, was not across over the line. I think that's, I think that a lot of people wanted to know if Russell Wilson was taking this seriously. We all know he kind of gained a little weight last year. He didn't look like he did 5 years ago. I think coming out with a workout video showing that you did shed a lot of poundage, knowing your role is going to be different with this offense than it was with Hackett. Hackett wanted to try to fit a round peg, or what is it, round square into a
square? Peg and a
square.
Round
there it is. He wanted to try to do that. Peyton's going, no. We got to go back to what you used to be in Seattle. And so Russ is training his body in order to scramble more, in order to move more.
It's something in sports. You see it when players put out videos of themselves working out. There's going to be the fans. There's going to be the haters. It just happens. You know, everyone will praise Paul George for being in the basketball gym because he's a basketball player. So that's a big development, apparently. And Jokic is doing backflips in the rivers. So.
Well,
and there's haters for that, too, because there's everyone.
Are
hates
there really
something.
Haters
yes.
for that?
He should be working. He's the MVP. Why
what?
Is he not shooting basketball?
Seriously?
He doesn't take the game seriously.
Oh, my gosh. Well, he doesn't.
He's a world champion. He can do whatever he wants.
He takes it in a different approach, and he's that good where he can do it kind of how he. Michael Porter Jr. came out and said, what's astonishing is Joker will be with his horses and drink beer until about 2 weeks before check-in, and then it's go time. Is there any reason to believe that that doesn't work for him? I mean, maybe less is more for Nikola Jokic.
Well, it's the athlete and it's the fan, and how does the fan react? Like, Tua could do a 2-second video of throwing a football, and someone's gonna say, "Oh, see, it's underthrown. See, it's just the world."
So you don't seem to have a big issue with the workout video?
No,
then.
I don't care.
I don't either. Like, what was the worst thing that Russ did last year? Was it the Let's Ride?
No, it was the Subway ad, the blindfolded Mr. Dangerous Subway ad.
But he was probably paid for that.
Sure. The high knees on the plane.
Oh yeah,
that was weird.
That one.
Wolverine blood
showing up.
He's mutant or something.
Showing up to practice, people were mad that he showed up in his jersey, that he got out of his vehicle and walked to the facility in his jersey. They were mad about that.
He has too many bathrooms in his house.
They're bad about the bathrooms.
At his office. There's a lot.
Call me a Russell Wilson apologist, I guess, but I thought the high knees was probably the worst. And then the Let's Ride thing, you know, it didn't. If they would, but he always said "Go Hawks." That was his thing with Seattle. He had a little phrase at the end,
like the "Let's Ride" was like the first thing that we got to really, and that just became the thing about Russ was the "Let's Ride," and then all the other stuff came with it.
Well, "Let's Ride" is different than "Go Hawks," right? Go Hawks, go Broncos. That's just I'm rooting for us to win. "Let's Ride" is kind of like let's get at we're doing things here. "Let's Ride" is different than "Go Broncos." It just is. And then when you're losing, it's really bad because you're not riding. You could still say "Go Broncos" anytime. If you just would have said "Go Broncos," do you think we'd be okay? Would people have made as big a deal about that as they did the "Let's Ride" thing? Probably not. 43 minutes after the hour, let's jump out real quick and get the latest on the local sports flash.
Hey, this is Warren Jackson, former CSU wide receiver, current NFL wide receiver for the Los Angeles Rams, and you're listening to the whole show on KFK.
Denver renews cable television franchise with Comcast through 2028, to the chagrin of sports fans, according to the Denver Post. I want to get into that. I want to get more details on that in a moment. But the TV stuff, dude, there's like three major stories when it comes to what's happening. Fox 31 can't have it on DirecTV. Altitude can't have it on Comcast and Dish. And now maybe this is going to come out. Like, we are going to get, what does this ultimately mean? Are we getting all this back? It's a bizarre story, so I want to dig up on that in a few moments and give you the full details. But something's cooking there. Is it going to be good news or bad news? First Advantage text line, 888-530-0043. Yesterday we were talking about the Buffs and how many wins they were going to have. Four wins, whatever. That's what some of the national sports guys are saying, that they're going to be a four-win football team. Now, I read yesterday when we were going over this. Sam Jones ended up spending the entire day with us. It was great. So we didn't talk a lot of Buffs. You can imagine why. Here is what one opposing Pac-12 assistant coach said about primetime and the Buffs. He said, it feels like a lose-lose for Colorado with Prime. Either he's going to be really good, really fast, and leave for another gig, which, looking at that roster, doesn't seem possible. The alternative is that they're going to be bad, and they'll end up firing him in a big circus. It's all hard to tell. It's all hard to separate the hype from reality. They're in the portal, but they're also preaching this old-school, work-hard-to-earn-everything mentality to their roster. He says, the assistant goes on to say, Sean Lewis is a fantastic offensive coach, and they can be really good. Jackson State was so good because they could get FBS-level guys and beat on FCS rosters. That won't happen here. They're not a good roster right now. How does he handle losing big? We haven't seen that. It's an assistant coach from a Pac-12 team saying that the roster is... And that's the thing. It's like, right now, you don't know if the roster is good.
And that's not belittling them. It's the truth. We don't know what this roster is going to look like. We don't know how these 4 or 5-star recruits are going to transfer over. What happens if they get beat by 20 against TCU? What happens if they drop the Nebraska game? What happens if they start 0-3?
They lose to CSU. It's over. That's how Buffs fans look at that. They hate that CSU game.
Not telling you not to be excited about it, but just be a little realistic. Where's the confidence? What is this team going to look like? And how does this team respond to adversity? Because it's going to happen.
Well, so much has been made of these, and I love cornerback play is my favorite. I love talking about great shutdown corners coming in. And the Buffs have two of those guys with Kermani McClain and the two-way star Hunter coming out. Those guys were all premier 5-star guys. How do they do at this level, though? They could be really good.
That's a question that every recruit has to answer for themselves, not just the 4 or 5 stars.
Yeah, they've got they on paper they have some studs, man. I mean, these guys were two of the leaders in the past two recruiting classes, with Hunter in 2022 and McClain in 2023. They want those two guys to be studs. It's not night and day. You could be the best player in all of high school football, and it still takes you a little time to translate it to the next level. So they might be really good, but they're going to have growing pains. We had a texter yesterday. It said, Clay Millen's going to throw 2 picks in that game. Maybe 3. But those two guys are going to get involved. Are they that good that fast? Maybe.
What if they drop a pick?
What if they blow coverage trying to go for a pick? I mean, they probably will be good at some point, but you're telling me that all these guys, these young guys that are unproven, are going to come in year one and be something special? Yeah, temper the expectations just a little bit. Buffs fans. Renaissance Insurance Group in Windsor, formed by 2 UNC Bears alumni 20 years ago. Ryan Hicks is my guy over there. Talk to him. Tell him we sent you here. They've always had the backs of those folks that live in Northern Colorado. They specialize in risk management and are certainly your go-to for workers' compensation and farming operations. You've been building this nest egg up for a long time. Don't lose what you've been working so hard for. Check out our friends at Renaissance Insurance. 11:52 the time. Quick break coming up. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear local coaches, players, and more with Coach Speak. Weekdays 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice. 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Sean Keeler of the Denver Post. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
I remember when Sting, former wrestler, I don't know, maybe still a wrestler, came out to this song for the first time. Oh, it was magical. Magical stuff. The WCW back in the day, man, had a moment of being in the spotlight, and that was certainly with a guy like that. Okay, so what do we know about this, Angel? In our five-minute break there, Denver renews cable television franchise with Comcast through 2028, even though sports fans are not happy. Basically, a lot of the sports fans in the state or in Denver are saying you should have fought and just said, no, we're not renewing with you until you give us altitude.
Correct.
Because if you, so they re-upped with Comcast, so that's your basic.
Basic cable.
That's your guy.
Comcast is what you get. You don't get altitude with that.
So
the what they wanted was Denver not re-up this deal. Comcast is forced to make a better offer, which would probably include altitude. And then Denver would say, oh, look at that. That's nice. Let's do it.
And so I just saw Vic Lombardi, a friend of ours, he tweeted out it was very disappointing that Denver did. And again, it comes down to Denver, Comcast, everybody looking at the ultimate ratings. I just can't believe, Angel, that 2 years in a row, three years in a row, you had Stanley Cup champ, Nuggets champ, two-time MVP, so four. And we didn't get to witness that stuff.
That's all potential numbers.
Yeah.
We'll never get
You'll never know if the ratings would have skyrocketed, which you would have imagined they probably would have, right? Championship teams, that's what they do. They grab the casual fans. And there would have been a lot of casual fans, I think. Now, again, the Nuggets playoff run was on national TV. So you do have that argument there. Are a lot of casual fans getting wind of it before in the regular season? Probably not as much. They start dialing into the playoffs. So it doesn't look like a resolution is anywhere in sight at this point. Second hour of The Whole Show coming up. We got the lunch rush. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.